podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Chief, I got it.
Copy that. What's your location?
Mom's Hotel.
Local media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to
tell? Come after the ball.
Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned in to the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned of the rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri, altrockradio.ca in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. RudRuRadio.com on the beaches of San Diego, California. XRPradio.co.uk in Birmingham, United Kingdom. And right here in the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania, buildthescene.com/radio. My name is Bill, and with me tonight is Dominic Fusca.
There you go. That's good enough.
Close enough. Yeah. I have one of those last names too, so I understand.
Yeah. You sure do.
Let's start out, and I know that when I had you on for SOS 2020 that we touched a little bit on this, but you were in New Orleans in NOLA.
Yeah.
Because I'm terrible at saying that, my Pittsburgh accent. How long were you in the scene there?
I was in New Orleans for 20 plus years, and it was great. It was definitely a chance for me to kind of find my thing, what I wanted to do. It was full of the music, the vibe, the people, the culture. That was me. I just, needed to go there. a dear friend of mine actually told me that I should check it out. And then he said, "You're going." He literally bought a plane ticket and told me, "You're going," or either way, you're paying me back for this plane ticket. So I figured, well, if I got to buy the plane ticket anyway, I might as well go. it was just a beautiful experience, and I loved it there.
So you're, if I remember correctly, you are originally from the Pittsburgh area, correct?
Right. Yeah. I grew up here in Pittsburgh, in Morningside, actually. So it's for those that might not know, it's pretty much a hop, skip, and jump from the Pittsburgh Zoo. So I grew up in there. So, hanging around there in Lawrenceville and Bloomfield, Oakland, South Side, downtown areas, those type areas. Just pretending to go to school. Keep going to school. Go to school or else you'll be like me and not have anything except for a few guitars. Pretty ones, though.
They are pretty.
Yeah, so I grew up here, and I did a lot of playing at a lot of different clubs that I don't think any of them are around anymore, to tell you the truth. Just to put it this way, when I left Pittsburgh, there were still things going on at the Civic Arena. You could go see Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers and then go see a monster truck and tractor pull or whatever. You know what I mean? So all that stuff was still going on. So
I did see the monster trucks in the Civic Arena.
Yeah. It was nuts, right? So it was wild coming back, and I knew certain things were gone, but it just like going to the South Side, everything ended by the time you got to Excuses Bar and Grill. There wasn't really anything there. Now it's like there's a whole nother city after that. the amount of stuff that they built around here is mind-boggling, and how different neighborhoods have changed, where you could get like an apartment really, really cheap in Bloomfield or Lawrenceville. It's not so cheap anymore.
No, revitalization.
So $200 went to $2,000, but everything changes. You can't stop that, right?
Now, I've seen you perform live a handful of times, and I have to ask how your drum/foot became a thing.
Well,
Maybe I should explain that a little better. He plays the bass line with his foot,
yeah,
which is really cool.
Yeah, it's as long as the stage is wooden. If not, I bring my own wood. But that came about really because the blues players that I really loved, all that old Delta blues stuff, you know, those guys would just sit on a stool and just kind of tap their foot and give the rhythm, give the beat while they're playing their guitar and singing and telling stories. And it became a thing where, you know, especially in New Orleans, where you have a group of people already at the bar, you know, when you're setting up and they're waiting for you and then they hear you and then they kind of roll on. And then you have groups of people coming through or passing by the doorway and saying, hey, what's going on? So it's kind of like I had to be louder than the folks that have been drinking for 12 hours straight, you know. So and being a one man show, you know, I tended to say, you know, I need to make enough noise as possible. And it just became a thing. It was a very natural thing because I'm always kind of tapping my foot anyway. And I really liked the sound of it. And I, like I said, I really stole it from, you could watch old clips of people like John Lee Hooker and Sun House and those guys that really inspired me. That's what they did because they didn't have a band. And also, you know, not having a band, I was able to play my music for a living, you know. I didn't have a bunch of guys to pay, you know, at the end of the day. It was just me. I paid for it the next day when my leg was killing me and my foot was killing me. but that's a whole different story, you know. But
So on leg day, you only do one leg, right?
Yeah. Just one leg. I need the other leg to hold the guitar steady, you know. So, but yeah, I've been known to switch it up, though. But, you know, these days, getting older, you know, I just kind of keep it safe with the left foot, you know, left foot to the wood, as I always used to say.
Mentioning blues, like, directly lines up with the question that I ask. So Robert Johnson, the
love,
yeah, the legend, is that what the word I'm looking for? The legend of Robert Johnson is that, you know, he was not a good guitar player and he went away. And he came back and he was phenomenal. And the rumor was that he sold his soul to the devil. So,
yeah, that's an old, you know, tale, you know, and it definitely led to the mystique because there's what, maybe two photos of him taken in his whole lifetime. Mm-hmm. He was kind of like one of those guys, you know, and speaking of like Sun House, you know, he would go see Sun House and hear him play. And he's like, oh, you know, Sunhouse never wanted him to play because he was horrible. Now, did he sell his soul to the devil? I don't know. he did go away for a little while. I think that he learned. There's a lot of different stories of who he learned from. But he definitely learned and he came back and really wanted to show, hey, I got something here. But, you know, that's the thing, though. You know, if you have something inside you like that, you have that passion and that drive, you know, you know, and then he just had something special, too. You know, the songs that were recorded that he did write, there was just something haunting about them and different than what everyone else was doing. And the way he approached his guitar, it was quite just, you know, unreal. Even to this day, to these standards, you know, you could mention a million different guitar players, whether they're like those hot shot shred guitar players or the really laid back kind of players. they'll even say, you know, the way he played, it sounded like there was like three or four guitar players playing at one time, and just the way he attacked his guitar. But you could hear a lot of that, even not just the blues, but you could hear that country, that folk, all those different styles were all kind of melding together, and the stories that he told, and his voice, it's why he's Robert Johnson, you know. I mean, it could have been anybody else, but it was him. And even though we only have a handful of songs, you know, we're lucky to even have that, you know.
So what I was going to ask you metaphorically was, if you were standing at those crossroads, what are you selling your soul for? So, like, what is it musically that you still want to attain, that you're willing to do almost anything for?
Longevity.
I would. So, 100 years from now, you want someone to be having this conversation about you?
Yeah, maybe. At least I know that while I'm here, as we know how we are, you know, I don't know anything else, you know, I think that there's something else possibly. But while we're here, I just really want to make people happy, and I want to play what I want to play, how I want to play it. you know, and I'm always learning, I'm always pushing myself. So, and there's a lot of songs that I have that probably will never see the light of day, and that's okay. They're songs for me, you know. And then I have songs that I've written that I want to record, and so I'm always searching. I'm always searching. I don't know if I'm searching so much as like how good I could get on a guitar, as to like the feelings. I'm more about feel and sounds. And different vibes, you know. So I might write, you know, 7 sad songs, but then there'll be 1 positive song, and that one is always the one that's going to be pushed to the forefront, because there's too much negativity. And so sometimes I do write that type of stuff, but I want to keep things more on a positive playing field. I think how things are these days, we need a bit more like love and positivity, you know, and just some sunshine on you know, focus on the light, you know,
and a little bit of solidarity with each other too.
Yeah. It's kind of sad, but that, you know, it's always been, no matter where you go, there's always that, you know. So I guess being old now, I don't even bother with it anymore. It used to really bug me, and I used to be like, you know, and now I'm just like, you know, okay, I let them have that, and I'll just do my thing, you know. Back in the day, like everyone says, you know, you heard music because you walked into a place and you heard someone playing, and you're like, oh, hey, I really dig this, you know, and you stuck around, you wanted to check out what they were all about, who they were, you know, what they were doing, you know, and things like that. Now it's just like, oh, let me, you know, get my cell phone out, download this, and da-da-da-da-da, you know, all that type of stuff. And I guess that's okay, but I think that really, really, really kills the human aspect of it all. And what I guess I would love to see, you know, is that human element coming back, you know, and people really appreciating music again. You know, they could say that they do, but I don't see it that way. You know, playing all over the United States and things of that nature, and being away for a long time and different type of scenes and things like that, and seeing what's going on and being a part of this and a part of that, you know, it's sad, but like, you know, I could only, like I said, do what I could do, and that's try to play the best as possible, keep writing, keep playing, hopefully book more shows, and they're few and far in between, and I'm not used to that. I'm used to, like, playing five nights a week, every week, for the past 20-some years, until, you know, the big monster hit the world, and I'm still at that, like, where am I?
Yeah, that really threw a lot of things into turmoil. I taught from my kitchen for like 4 months.
That's crazy. I mean, but in that respect, you know, you're a teacher, so that's a beautiful thing that you could still help kids, you know, learn in that fashion. See, that's where technology can be good, you know, in that type of fashion. You know, without technology, you kind of showed me how to turn on my phone to do this with you tonight. I'm not very a technical kind of guy. I mean, the way I used to get gigs back in the day was
you walked into the venue
and said, "How you doing? My name's Dominic. I play. I'd like to play here." You know, and they'd be like, "Oh, you know, have a couple drinks with the bartender," and all of a sudden you're on stage playing. It's like, "Oh, you're all right." I was like, "Okay."
Whereas now it's send us your EPK, send us a video of yourself, send us.
Yeah, and you don't know if people see that. I mean, chances are 9 out of 10 times they don't. They're going to hire somebody that they know, you know, or that's played their plays before, or that'll play for free. Don't play for free, fellow musicians. You're screwing it up for us, man. Speaking about being united, everybody should get paid when they play. And it's two things that I hate. People like, you should, don't you want, exposure?
Exposure, because that pays your rent.
I'm 102, man. I've exposed myself enough, thank you. You know, it's like, I just love to play. Me too, so do I. But when you do that, are you going to go into your quote unquote day job for free? You know, I mean, I'm sure that you love teaching your students, but would you do it for free?
Absolutely not.
You know, I can't go to the grocery store right now and say, "No, I'm not going to pay for this milk. I'm just going to take it because I believe it should be free." You know, I'm sure I'll get stopped at the door.
Yeah.
The way I look, I get stopped walking into a grocery store. So,
so having played in New Orleans and Pittsburgh, I'm going to ask you to compare the two, but I do want to throw out a name. It's another Pittsburgher who's relocated to New Orleans. A drummer. His name's Keith Hawkins. Okay. He's currently, I believe he's playing in a band called Black Laurel, and a few other bands, but he's doing a lot of session work down there on recordings. And, okay. So if anyone is in that area, you should check out Black Laurel. Maybe I'll play them on the show tonight. Like, what would you say is similar and what is different?
Well, I haven't been a part of this scene in Pittsburgh, like I said, in over 20 years. But I would say New Orleans is more of a, like, a place where people like wake up in the morning and go, "I'm going to New Orleans, man. Yeah, let's go to New Orleans." I don't think people wake up in the morning and go, I want to go to Pittsburgh. Yeah.
You know, I live 45 minutes from Pittsburgh and I don't do that.
There you go. You know, so, you know, so there's that, right? I think that Pittsburgh has an amazing amount of musicians and bands and just super, super talented. They always have. They always will. I don't think that there's really a platform after you get to a certain level. Like, there's nowhere to go, it seems like. I think New Orleans is kind of like more of a, you know, you walk down the street and you're like, hey, man, what do you do? I'm a musician. All right, cool. It's like a no-brainer. When somebody asked me around here, what do you do? I was like, I'm a musician. They're like, okay, what else do you do? Which always killed me, because it's like, if I said I'm a brain surgeon, you wouldn't say, what else do you do? You know? Mm-hmm. So the thing with that is there's a lot of music going on in New Orleans, like all the time, all the time. And so people kind of tend to come in and out of the club, you know, that there's no covers normally, you know, 8 out of 10 times there's not a cover to go see a band. You know, you go in there, you see a band, you could see them for a couple songs, and then you roll across the street, there's another band. Then next door, there's another band. Here, it's more spread out. There's a lot of more cover bands here. The people that I think in around this area in Pittsburgh, cover bands and tribute bands, like tons of tribute bands. I never understood that when I was a kid, and I probably never will. Teach their own, though. I mean, you know, that's great. You know, playing and whatnot. You're entertaining people. But I'm the type of person that likes to like hear, hey, what's that cat thing? You know, he's playing that guitar. He's playing that piano. Or he's playing that horn, man. What are they doing now? With New Orleans, there are those type of, I guess, cover bands, but they're more or less not really called cover bands because they're not playing like the hits. They're the covers that you're hearing are old Dixieland jazz, you know, old Delta blues, you know, that type of thing where they're paying homage to their mentors. And that's a whole different thing. It's just like the jazz scene here, which is amazing jazz people in Pennsylvania. They're paying homage to like the greats, you know? So that's a little different than like, you know, playing, you know, Hit Me With Your Best Shot. And then like, you know, playing Don't Feel the Reaper. And then, you know what I mean? It's just like, kind of like radio is today. I could turn on an old radio station that I haven't probably listened to in 25 years.
I know which station you're referring to.
And come back to Pittsburgh and turn it on, and it's the same songs. So,
I listen to that station in the morning.
I listen when they're not playing music. YEP, thanks for playing my music, y'all. And and in New Orleans, it was WWOZ. These are folks that these are independent stations. These are stations that a lot of the people that play the music, you know, those DJs go there for nothing. They go there for the love of sharing music. They spend hours upon hours gathering music and playing it, and I love that whole aspect of it.
Are you familiar with 93.7 out of Butler? the Grassroots show?
Yeah, man, they were really cool too. Bob and Utah,
yeah,
they're fantastic guys. I got to meet them. That's the one thing, you know. It's like the when I first came back from New Orleans and came back here, one of the first people I called was like Rocky. I was like, Rocky, what are you doing? He's like, did you finally leave that place? You're not dead yet, you know. I'm like, no, almost, man, but you know. But and he was doing a lot of the stuff like with this SOS thing, and that's how I got involved with that. It, you know, he was like one of the last people I saw when I left Pittsburgh and moved to New Orleans, and one of the first people I saw when I came back. Yeah, so it's a full circle in a sense, you know.
For anyone watching the video that isn't familiar with Rocky, that's him down below Dom there in the corner.
Oh yeah, yeah, playing the bass. Yeah.
And you can find him at AnthonyLamondi.com and musicfromthe412.com and borstalboys.com.
Yeah.
All of which I made. In case you were curious.
Yeah, you're everywhere, man. Speaking
I of, am.
There's similarities. I think New Orleans is a lot more open, but you know, I'm seeing a lot of change in New Orleans too. You know, New Orleans, I love, it'll always be in my heart and in my soul and underneath my fingernails. It's the only thing I know how to do. And it's the only thing that brings me joy. And, you know, and even now when I'll play a show and, you know, I had these two little kids like seeing me play. I was playing out at the North Country Brewing, up in the tap rooms out in Slippery Rock. And I was playing and there was these little kids and they were just dancing. They were looking at what I was doing. They were looking at my guitar. Like, that's a weird.
Of course they were looking at your resonator.
They're like, what is that? You know?
And listen, I had to, the first time I saw it, I had to Google it. I've never saw one. And I've been involved in the scene since the 90s.
Yeah. I stepped back from a lot of the stuff that's another thing that, really had helped too, you know. Moving to New Orleans was another thing of where it's like, you know, when you move into a city that you know absolutely nobody, you could really reinvent yourself, you know. And those were always sounds that I always loved, and I wanted to learn what made that sound, you know. So I really honed in my craft there, you know, and so I'm hoping to be able to, you know, do it around here a lot more than just, you know, one gig here, one gig there, you know.
Speaking of your craft, we're going to play Get Your Soul Right.
Right on.
Off of an album with the same title.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us a story about that song, and then we'll take a listen to it.
Well, that was that whole record was recorded down in Florida. My buddy Jeff Ward at his studio. We were at Jazz Fest, and it was in between Willie Nelson and I think Emmylou Harris. And he goes, "I'm going to record your next record." And I said, "Well, that takes a lot of money, man." He goes, "How much money did it take for you to come to Jazz Fest with me and my wife?" I go, "Well, nothing. You gave me a ticket." He goes, "Exactly. Just find a way down Florida and we'll make a record." And that's how that came about. That song was like, he's like, "Do you have an album's worth of music?" I was like, yeah. And I didn't. but, you know, 2 weeks. I wrote the whole record in 2 weeks and we recorded it and it is what it is. I'm still very, very proud of it. But that was the only song that I had kind of fleshed out. And I was going to do it with a dear friend of mine, Coco Robichaux. But I never got a chance to. And he had passed on to the other side. But I remember him kind of whispering in a loud, loud bar, many, many triple shots of chilled Hornitos. And he whispered it into my ear, like the words that I gave him. And it kind of gave me like a flow. And I remembered it somehow. And so that turned into the song that you're about to hear.
Very cool. So we're going to listen to Get Your Soul Right, and we'll be right back with Dominic.
Love is love.
All right, so that was Get Your Soul Right by Dominic, and I'm Fusca.
Very good, sir.
Okay. Now we're going to talk a little bit about some new music that I know is done but hasn't been released yet because I was talking to Rocky.
Rocky. I love you, Rock, if you're listening. No Steelers game going on, so maybe he's listening. this is going to be really good. I'm really excited about it. It's a 4-song EP. It's called Chasing the Song. And it's 4 songs. There's Talking 67, As Too Young, Story Too Old, Mrs. Brown Revisited, and wow, I'm losing it, huh? See, not enough coffee yet. And Finding the Real, as in R-E-E-L. These songs came about, like I said, Rocky was one of the first people that I kind of reached out to saying, hey, man, I'm back from New Orleans. And so we got together and we were just hanging out, and he's like, man, I want to record you. You got some new songs? I go, yeah, I always got new songs. And so we got together and we started doing some little recordings. They were only supposed to be just little demos, you know, ideas, thoughts, getting it down. And it turned into this whole thing when he was like, okay, I'm going to be your producer now. I was like, all right, Rock. I was like, you know, and I love Rocky. I've been knowing him for a long, long time. Back in the days, he used to smoke all my cigarettes at the Decade. And when I come see him play, he'd see me walking through the door and he'd just smile. And he's up on stage playing bass going, hey, give me a. I was like, all right. I didn't even get a drink yet, but here I go. But and so it turned into like where he's like, okay, well, I think these songs could use more people, you know, just we should make this a thing. You know, I was like, okay, you really want to go for it. So one thing led to another. All of a sudden, I'm putting all these guitar parts down on it and different vocal tracks down on it. Then he started putting some bass lines on it. We ended up getting Bobby Kunkel playing drums and percussion on it. And I worked with Bobby a long time ago at David Granati's studio. And did some recordings with him. And I knew him for a while, too. And he's dear friends with Rocky. Everybody kind of knows one another, you know. And then it turned into, like, I almost have the Borstal Boys backing me up, basically, on these recordings, you know. So Bobby Kunkel on drums and percussion. Rocky LaMondi on the bass. I have Vinnie Q doing a lead electric guitar on one of the tracks. Mark's doing some backing vocals on two of the tracks. And Joe Pileski's playing piano on 3 out of the 4 tracks. So yeah, it turned into this really beautiful thing. You wouldn't think that, you know, these recordings were done here, there, and everywhere. You know, the drums were brought in. And so here goes where technology is kind of cool, because we couldn't all get together, you know, all at one time or, you know. So we kind of went through it. And one thing led to another. Once it was, like, all recorded, and it took a long time. But it's just, when everybody has free time, was like, okay, yeah, we'll mess around with some of those tracks that Dominic laid down, that type of thing, you know? And it turned into way more than I thought it would. I'm so proud to, you know, to be a part of it, even though it's my project. I was like, I really feel proud to be a part of this, to be able to, in a weird way, play with all these guys, without actually playing with them, you know?
How much of it was recorded at the vault?
Well, actually none of it. What with the vault, what happened there was the recordings were done. Some of them were done at Rocky's little jam space that he got going there, where he's doing the
music from the 412.
Yeah. But most of it was recorded at his house, fish tank and all, and his dog Blue, you know.
I have met Blue virtually.
yeah. So, cutie little pie. Anyway, so we did a lot of that there. And then Bobby actually recorded the drums at his place and shipped over the tracks to Rocky. And we figured out the best parts. And once we got all that kind of together, then Bob stepped in and he started mixing it all, and he started doing that. And then he brought it to his people in New York to get mastered. And so it's really was like a labor of love of a lot of different folks coming together for something that I really thought was just going to be a little demo, you know, just like an acoustic little demo thing. But once we started adding parts, I was like, oh, that organ sounds great there. Oh, wait, we need this and that. So it became this whole thing, you know, and you really wouldn't know it. The feel is still there. It feels very live and very like we were all in the room together. I mean, everyone did such a great job. Rocky did a killer job of just organizing everybody and getting all the parts in. And we only argued a few times. but I respect his opinions tremendously. I think he has a really great ear. And his favorite song is like the most, I was like, of course your favorite song out of all of them. He says he loves them all, but he said there's the Finding the Real is like his favorite. And I think that's going to be the single. Don't quote me on that. I know we're saying this live, but I think that's going to be the single. And then we're going to release the rest of it. And it, which is kind of funny. I go, well, you really like those little poppy numbers, don't you, Rock? You know, but you know, I understand where he's coming from on that. And like I said, everyone did such a beautiful job. I'm very excited for everybody to hear it. It makes me want to record more stuff, of course, you know, but you know, first things first. And Bob was just really, it was amazing where it was out of the blue. I had no idea, you know. I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, I heard you play live. I love what you do. And yeah, I mean, I would love for you to be part of the Vault family. And I was like, wow, that blows my mind, you know, especially with everything, like I said, about like all this negative stuff going on, you know, constantly negative this, negative that. Oh, well, this is bad. That's bad. You know, okay, but give me something good. You know what I mean? I could deal with all this bad stuff in some fashion or another, but isn't there anything else that could possibly be good? And it's the most sincerely, I say this sincerely, it's just been a blessing to be asked to be a part of this whole team. And it's probably the best thing that has happened to me since I've been back in my hometown, you know. And I hope it builds on to other things, you know. Full length record would be great, you know. maybe sleeping on the couches at the vault, you know, and making a record there, you know, that'd be great, you know.
I sleep on the couch here a lot when I'm editing, no matter what time of the day.
Yeah, so I mean that would be something else, and you know, but for now I'm really excited about the EP coming out. We don't have an exact date yet, but we have a beautiful video shot that Alexis Salinas put together. So that's going to be coming out too. So we have a few things going on with that. And in the meantime, I'm always writing and trying to get gigs and seeing what's out there. Because I am very new to my hometown. So I really don't know what's out there. I don't know who's booking where. So it's kind of difficult for me to kind of gauge what's going on.
I have a page on my website with 266 venues in the area listed, with their addresses, phone numbers, and email addresses. And I will share that with you when we go off the air.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm learning, you know what I mean? I had someone helping me with this, but now it's like I got to kind of do it on my own. So it's weird for me. Like I said, I was so used to, like, you know, everyone's like, well, didn't you have like a steady, like once a week gig at the House of Blues in New Orleans? I was like, yeah, but I just walked in, you know, and there was musicians there. They're like, hey, get that young boy up here. Get that young boy up here. He stomps his foot and plays that slide guitar. Get him up here, man. Let him cut a rug. And that's really how I got the gig, you know. Coco Robichaud, man. He called me his cool breeze, but he was my man, man. I loved him, miss him all the time, and I got to get up on stage and play, and then all of a sudden I got a gig out of the deal, and that gig lasted for, I don't know, 3 years, 4 years. So yeah, just trying to get more work, you know.
Do you have any shows lined up currently?
I have it starting in May. I got like two shows coming up in May, so I don't have anything. I played a few shows recently, and then in May I'm playing at a place called the Tavern. I'm gonna cheat here and look.
Me too. I'm clicking on your website right now.
yeah, like look on my website, dominicmusic.shop. yeah, it's
that's not under right
Liberty
now.
Corner Tavern, May 19th, from 7 to 9. It's a Thursday. They call it Thirsty Thursdays or something like that. I'm playing a tavern. Actually, Utah got me that gig. He was looking for people to play that place, and so I said, yeah. And then I'll be back at
Liberty Tavern. Is that in Freeport?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes, I've never been there, so.
Me either, and it's not that far from me.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. May 19th, I'll be there. And then I'll be back at the Harmony Inn. That's in Harmony, PA, on Wednesday, May 25th from 6 to 9. And then I'm doing a few more shows at the Harmony in July and September. But like I said, it's everything's kind of sporadic, and so I'm really kind of looking to so if there's people out there that don't mind a single artist, original music, and like a lot of slide playing and foot stomping, I'm your man. So that, you know, so between trying to find the gigs and find places, steady places to play, would be like kind of like my short-term goal. My long-term goal is to hit the road again, because I'm not used to sitting around doing nothing. it makes me a little stir crazy. I'm so used to being around people and chit-chatting and being all part of that, and I haven't had that really. So for all you clubs out there, you know, through Rocky, I did the you know, Save Our Stages. So maybe you clubs could like return the favor and give your stages to some of these musicians, you know, and pay them. You know, I know I might sound like this money dude, but believe me, I'm not a money dude. If I was, I would get like a job that actually paid some decent bread and gave benefits and things like that, you know? So, but yeah, that's, you know, I'm hoping that comes around. Like I said, I know that it's a lot different here, you know, really, really excited about, the EP coming out. So look for it, everybody. It's called Chasing the Song, and, it's a 4-song EP out on the Vault Records. So I thank you, Rocky, and thank you, Bob McCutcheon, at the Vault Studios there, and did a wonderful job of mixing.
So I want to thank you for hanging out with me tonight.
Thank you so much, Bill. I really appreciate you. I appreciate what you do.
I still don't know what episode number this is. I'm going to
cheat. 609.
Is that what it is? 609.
I cheated. I looked.
So this has been episode number 609 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. I want to thank Dominic for hanging out with me.
Thanks,
you're going to hear some more of the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. When you hear John the American Hilljack Lane telling you that it's the end of the show and how to leave comments and reviews, you'll know that we are done. If you're listening on one of those streaming stations, make sure you hang out there. Listen, hear some more unsigned and independent artists, and who knows, you may find your next favorite artist and go purchase some of their music and help them move along the way. And we will catch you each and every Friday at buildthescene.com.
This sailor really lost his mind when his love started running away. Went off with old Hickory Nut Johnny and I went to his mama's stay by the light of the moon, by the light of the moon. It's a dead giveaway. So he grabbed his old double barrel and he grabbed him a box of shells. And he went to grab his old dog Dick, but he was gone as well. It's one thing to take another man's woman, know you got hell to pay. But don't ever think you steal his dog, cause you know you never get away. Cause he howls at the moon, howls at the moon. It's a dead giveaway. They say the first shot pepper the moon, they say. The next two shots went straight as an arrow, and you know they never got away. By the light of the moon, by the light of the moon, it's a dead giveaway. Shot pepper the moon, they say.
Imagine just as fate as it when you know they never got away by the light of the moon. By the light of the moon. It's a dead giveaway.
This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-sign rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.